We have got a great episode for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Royals and the draft. All-Star break is here, so lots to recap on.
Royals can't lose this week.
Royals can't lose. We've got some openings and closings around Kansas City. We tried a few things around the city this week that we'll also recap.
Fancy boy over here.
Yep. We'll get Midwest mad a little bit. Not us. Some other people did.
Okay.
Personal pine tars. And then we've got the mixed plate of living with your parents as an adult, because we are live from the lower level where I'm living right now in my parents' lower level / basement.
There you go.
Great show today. Kansas City is home to a rich brewing history dating back to the 1880s with Ferd Heim and George Muehlbach, and the marks they made can still be seen today throughout the city.
Nailed it on the name, by the way. Good job.
Thank you. Prohibition took its toll on the breweries in KC, but in 1989, nearly 100 years later, Boulevard Brewing Company founder John McDonald rekindled that brewing tradition when he brewed and sold his first batch of pale ale at Ponax.
Ponax. People forget.
More than 30 years later, that spirit of Kansas City can-do attitude is in everything Boulevard does. From creating Tank 7, an award-winning American Saison, to brewing Space Camper Cosmic IPA, an exhilarating exploration into the universe of hops, to deliver one of the nation's largest barrel-aging programs, and even more recently with the introduction of Quirk Hard Seltzers, Real Fruit, Real Fun, Q-Bones.
Q-Bombs.
At the heart of Boulevard Brewing Company lies the intersection of traditional brewing and modern technology. Visit the brewery and take a tour to sip and see 32 years of brewing excellence and maybe catch a glimpse of the future to where that Kansas City spirit of innovation will lead. Boulevard Brewing Company, Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans, presented by Boulevard Brewing Company. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is July 19th. As I mentioned, we're coming to you live from my lower level. Welcome to my humble abode.
Well, this is not your lower level. This is mom and dad's lower level. This is your regular level. Like, this is where you live. This is your level. Mm-hmm. And your parents live on your upper level, I guess you would say.
Yes. Yeah. I let them live up there rent free,
mm-hmm.
not collecting any payments from them.
Wow.
So
kind of, yeah,
very generous of me. So, yeah.
I'm excited to get into the mixed plate of best things about living with your parents.
Me too. And then I can't wait to hear about it like two mm-hmm. or three yeah. days from now when mom yeah. and dad finally listen mm-hmm. to critique me on it.
Yep.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got some new college baseball players on the Royals. Went college heavy, I think, in the first 10 picks.
Oh, really?
They were all college players. Pretty good mix of bats and pitchers, but mm-hmm. All kind of older college guys was the trend.
Yeah, I saw other trends that were going on. If you were following along on Twitter, it basically looked like everyone we drafted is right in Dayton Moore's wheelhouse. Most guys that were drafted in their Twitter profile say something along the lines of follower of Jesus Christ, lover mm-hmm. of God, God-fearing man, different things like that. So Dayton Moore, as we know, has a type.
Yeah. Hey, so Gavin Cross, our first pick.
Cross is his last name.
Yeah. His dad started a Christian baseball academy
mm.
and worked with Dayton Moore.
Okay.
In Atlanta.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Very
Dayton
very
Moore,
interesting.
Who said he'd rather go 0-162 than have players be addicted to porn.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, drafted yeah. some guys with Bible verses in their Twitter profiles.
A lot of that going on. Yeah, mm-hmm. a lot of that going on. And listen, if you're a religious person and you take Christianity or Jesus Christ very seriously, I think that's good. Good for you. I'm happy for you. But should it be a requirement for employment, or should it be a reason why you draft someone? Probably not if you're building a baseball team. But, you know, what do I know? I'm... couldn't possibly do a better job than what Dayton Moore has done.
As you've said before,
team.
You
yes,
cannot.
Yes, I couldn't possibly do a better job than Dayton Moore. Yeah, I've just, the team, it's just, it's in a real interesting place with everything that happened with Toronto and 10 players not being able to go to Toronto.
Before we get there, too.
Okay. You want to talk more draft? Because I don't know a single thing.
I don't want to talk about the players anymore, but just how bad we've been in the last decade at drafting.
Yes.
If you look at war added by players drafted from 2010 to 2019, that's all Dayton Moore, his wheelhouse. We're the worst.
No, second to worst.
Second to worst as far as war added from the draft.
And mind you, we've had last decade. Probably more higher picks, more top 10 picks.
And that's factored into it, I believe.
How the could graph you factor that it into
like
it?
What they're expected based on draft position to contribute. And that's factored into it. And that's also a reason why we're so low on that chart is because we've had such good picks.
Yes.
We've had top 10 picks over and over and over again. And not seen much success. Now, we're starting to see these young hitters now starting to contribute, which that can be my segue into where you were going.
Yeah, the team that we got to take to Toronto because 10 players are not vaccinated on our team. 10 out of 26 players on the Royals are not vaccinated, so they could not travel to the team with the team to Toronto. I think the most like anyone had was like maybe four players. Like,
yeah,
is everything okay?
Yeah,
okay. So yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, I'm so ready for like the era of I'm ready for this era of Royals baseball to end, and that has to be with Dayton Moore leaving. I want the next era of Royals baseball to start. That includes the new owner, that includes the new downtown stadium, that includes Bobby Witt Jr. and MJ Melendez and Vinny Pasquantino and Nick Prado and some of the other guys that got the opportunity to play. And so that has to be without Dayton Moore and without Mike Matheny. I'm done with this iteration of the Royals. I'm ready to move past it. I feel very disconnected from the team. I don't care at all about their success. It's a bummer of a group. I root for the young guys, but yeah, it's just a bummer of a group. And I love Nicky Lopez in his post game press conference after he beat Toronto with 10 guys missing. He said it was a real unselfish win, hinting at some of the guys who will say they'll do anything to win, except get a simple vaccination that has been given to billions of people around the world. Yeah. But they're doing their own research. They're doing their own research. Whit Merrifield, I guess he's against it, but he said in an interview that if basically he was traded to a contender that had to play Toronto, or if he was traded to Toronto, he would get the vaccine. So that's interesting. That just means like he's not actually against it. He just I guess just doesn't care about the Royals and being selfish.
It's frustrating because it's a competitive advantage to get the vaccine, because then you get to actually play those games in Toronto. And if this was a team that thought, we're building a winner, like you would think everybody would get on board for that. Mm-hmm. So then, I'm sure Dayton at the beginning of the season was thinking postseason. Like,
well, yeah, he said
I know
that
he was.
Yeah.
So to not think or have the clubhouse to like do whatever it takes to win and have that competitive advantage is frustrating. I will say I'm probably going to go easier on Witt than most people, because that is a guy who he has his limit, right? Obviously he doesn't want to get the vaccine unless it gives him, lets him play in the postseason or get traded. Like,
sure.
Like that's his trade-off. That's where his line, he'll cross it. He's like, well, I don't want to get it, but I care more about playing postseason baseball than I do the vaccine. So that's like where his limit wears out. And he knows they're not going to do that on the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say like the fact that what he's done for really, really bad Royals teams and how he's played 500 whatever games in a row was till he went out.
Mm-hmm. Like, a fake toe injury.
I'm frustrated with people just wanting to be like, all right, screw Whit Merrifield.
Oh, no, I'm not saying
get him
that
out of here. Forget what he's done. But people are that mad at him.
Oh, yeah.
And same people are giving MJ Melendez a pass. Like, everybody has their
moral
breaking point
without a doubt
of what they would do to win and what they would give up of their morals. Like, yeah, everybody has that, and we know what Witz is. It's if he can play postseason baseball, then that's more important to him than whatever he thinks about the vaccine.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody has that breaking point.
Sure, that's
so
a fair point.
It's frustrating as a Royals fan that he's not willing to do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I look at who he's been for the Royals, which is a guy who's played probably through a lot of injuries, been one of the best players in the American League at stretches for a terrible team, and has never, I've never questioned his effort at all. So I feel like I'm not going to just throw away what he's done for the Royals and everything.
I wouldn't do that.
I think that it's obvious he doesn't want to be here anymore.
Exactly.
And I am that is a totally fair thing for Witt to be like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
Trade me. Like, he has no reason to be that loyal to the Royals, because they wasted his prime.
Mm-hmm.
They hindered him from coming up earlier when he should have. So he can say, all right, I'm done. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Then
I think
he does
we should
that.
Trade him.
Yeah, I hope he does that. I hope
and
he demands
I will not
to get
have
out.
Sour feelings towards
No, I agree with all of that. I really do. And that's why, again, the majority of the blame that I place on all of this is with Dayton Moore. Like, I don't trust the way he runs organizations. He values the wrong things when it comes to building a winning baseball team. And that's, I'm not soured on Whit Merrifield. And I'm not like gonna, forget everything that he's done. I'm done with Dayton Moore. I'm completely done with Dayton Moore. And giving him another draft is frustrating, considering his track record since 2010.
Yeah.
It's just,
I think our second round pick was like the 250th in one ranking, the 300 something in another, and that was like our 87th pick.
No, I know. And the tweets that I saw, it's like, oh my gosh, these two guys dropped to us. Again, I don't know enough about the prospect pipeline.
Oh, that's in the first round.
These two guys dropped to us. Like, we're somehow going to screw it up. And then we didn't take one of the top two prospects that actually dropped to number 9. So, again, when stuff like this comes around, I don't know enough about it. I trust people smarter than me that do pay attention to it. Dayton, I would say, is smarter than me on stuff like this and whatnot. But I'm just done. I'm done with Dayton Moore. I really am. Yeah, I'm done with him. Which is not a surprise.
Yeah. Andrew Benintendi, our all-star?
All-star. Sweet.
Okay.
Is he? Hopefully he gets in. Why, have we traded him today?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know who our all-star was.
Yeah, it's Benintendi.
It's just Benintendi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He'll get in at bat. I'm sure he'll get in at bat.
I hope so. Maybe make a dive and catch. Do something cool, Andrew.
Represent us.
Do we have any celebrities in the celebrity softball game tonight?
I haven't watched that since 2012, probably, when we actually had it here in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Mm.
So
we'll see.
Yeah, that's all I got. Anything else on the All-Star game or Royals?
Nothing.
Yeah. It's frustrating. All right, let's move along. Let's get into some openings and closings this week. First up, our first opening, we've got something going on at Lulu's. Some people love the Thai food here. It's not on my top tier of Thai food in
Kansas
City.
Are you talking about Lulu's?
I'm talking about Lulu's.
No Kansas City celebs in the All-Star game.
Okay.
With it being in LA, I would imagine, there's a lot of celebs out there.
I would imagine. But at Lulu's, again, not my favorite Thai food, not in the top tier for me.
Why do you feel like you have to say that about Lulu's?
I want people to know.
Okay.
I want people to know.
Interesting.
I don't understand its popularity.
I think it's got good branding.
Does? Yeah, it does. And now they've got a robot server.
That's right.
How's this going to do for their branding? Sounds like they're taking jobs, these robots.
No, Kevin, if you had read the press release, the robot is just simply running food. You're not losing, and it's going to allow servers to spend more time at the tables with their customers.
Food runners.
Mm.
They're employment.
Most restaurants don't have food runners.
Okay.
I know the restaurant that you've worked at has a food runner.
Mm-hmm.
Luis, shout out Luis, the greatest food runner of all time. But The but yeah, Lulu's is gonna have a robot. We talked about this. There's another noodle place out in Overland Park that has this server robot. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it just has two levels of trays on it, and the person in the kitchen, will enter into the robot what table the it goes to, and then it brings out the food. So the server is still there collecting the order, placing the order, talking to the table, you know, letting you know at every Thai restaurant, every server has to know exactly like, okay, what's mild, what's medium, mm-hmm. what's hot, like compare it to something. What would you recommend? You gotta always answer spicy
questions.
You gotta
have a scale. You gotta have a spicy squid.
But yeah, so that's gonna be at Lulu's in the Crossroads. And then Lulu's is opening another location out south in Overland Park in January, I think. That the robot will be there, but it will not be at the Lulu's in Mission, Westwood area.
Or Crossroads.
It's only, oh, that, in the
only in the Crossroads
right now.
Is it going to Overland Park too?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not going to be in Westwood because the outdoor patio. I don't think the robot can handle the outdoors. So
I got to get to that bar right by Lulu's.
I know,
that opened
yeah.
up.
That like shack bar next uh-huh. door.
The
yeah.
little dive bar right there.
So yeah, the robot, you know, in terms of cost, it's cost effective. It's about $30 a day to an operating cost for the robot. Which is about $250 an hour. They are doing a naming competition
okay.
for the robot.
Mm-hmm.
You got any?
Off the top of my head, no.
I was gonna go with Lulu Smith Schuster.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Food Star Runner.
There's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Kind of that Home Star Runner. He was a robot.
Rumba Lulu's Rumba.
Like the vacuum?
Yeah, what is that called?
Roomba.
Roomba.
Yeah.
Loomba.
Foomba.
For what?
Food runner. Ba. like a Roomba,
pad,
but a food ba.
Pad Thai ba.
Mm-hmm.
Room pad, pad Thai.
Thai runner.
Thai runner. Mm-hmm. There you go. So that's the robot at Lulu's.
All right. Also,
we're obviously going to win that naming competition.
Yeah, we'll submit. Also, we've got an opening / a proposal for a Green Line Trail, which will basically be a kind of like a biking and walking trail around downtown Kansas City. It's got an $80 million price tag.
That's right.
They're modeling it based off of something that's been done in Atlanta, and it would go from the riverfront on Hedge Trail, I think east, kind of up Paseo, and then west
Paseo.
Across 22nd Street.
22nd.
And then back north up like Pinway probably or
yeah.
kind of by the highway I-35
yeah,
over there.
Yeah.
But a big wide walking
trail. Big, huge walking trail that encompasses River
Basically
Market.
The loop.
Riverfront. Well, much, much bigger than the loop because it's like Riverfront.
Yeah.
River Market. Downtown.
Crossroads.
Crossroads. East. I mean, it's far east of 71. The west side. A little bit of Crown Center, Crossroads. So all of that would be circled by the Green Line. Pretty cool map on cityscenekc.com. But yeah, I think it looks sweet. I love this idea for a biking and walking loop around downtown like that. So the one in Atlanta is very, very popular. It's called the Beltline. And, you know, because of its popularity, a ton of investment has gone into it. So like an extra $4 billion worth of investment as far as like businesses and restaurants and other things around the Green Line, you know, in the same way that investment along the streetcar route has increased and restaurants and businesses are moving along the streetcar route. The same idea applies to this where, you know, businesses and restaurants would want to invest in locations around the Green Line that currently don't have any really investment going on. So that's the idea. I think it's part of that KC 2030, you know, where they envision downtown and what they see as the future of Kansas City. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And I think just especially being downtown and having a spot to ride your bike around or making it easier to get from side to the other.
How
I think
big
it's like
the loop
22
is?
Miles, I think.
Wow, that's pretty sick.
I need to double check that.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
22 miles. No, that's Atlanta's.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know how big ours would be then.
Okay. Well, it's pretty sweet looking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for it. I support.
All right. Also opening is Guy's Deli's. Got a new pizza mm-hmm. with one heck of a name. It is a pickle-themed pizza.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a dill crust topped with a garlic dill ranch sauce,
mm-hmm.
cheese, pickles, banana peppers, and then some more dill sprinkled on top. And it is called the Dill Dough Pizza.
Dill Dough Pizza.
That's two words. Dill Dough Pizza.
Yeah, Dill Dough Pizza.
The Dill Dough Pie.
The uh-huh. Dill Dough Pizza.
I think this podcast knows my stance on pickles.
Yeah.
And I'm out on this pizza for those mm-hmm. reasons, but would you try the Dill Dough Pizza?
I am out on this pizza for similar reasons. I've never been a huge fan of pickles. The only time I eat pickles are on Cuban sandwiches. For some reason, like it just has to be on a Cuban. I think that's a key ingredient.
I don't.
And I'll allow it.
My Chick-fil-A order, I allow them to put the pickles on it, and then I take them off.
Because you just want that little residue.
Just a little of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I also don't, because I know that Cosmo Burger, the pickles are made in-house, I'll leave those on as well.
I did with Cosmo Burger, too.
Because I know that that's how it's supposed to be. But yeah, the Dill Dough Pizza, Dill Dough Pizza. I don't get why this is making so much news.
It went viral on TikTok, a pizza why? Like this. Not this one, but there was a pizza going viral on TikTok with pickles on it that looks similar to this. And then guys, being the social media savants that they are,
yeah.
jumped in on that trend, introduced this pie. I guess it was really good. I would say I would try it without the pickles on it, but then I would feel like... Like, that's like ordering a steak well done with ketchup or something. Like,
yeah.
if I were to go order the Dill Dough Pie and say no pickles,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'd get kicked out of there. Like, if I were to order a steak yeah. well done with ketchup or something
just
like that.
Just be careful that, like, if you bring it home, like, you know, maybe it's bigger than your pizzas that you make at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to be careful introducing the Dill Dough Pizza
to your partner.
Hole.
To your pie hole.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
and because it might be bigger than the pizzas that you make at home, so, and it might be too much for mm-hmm. you to handle. So
and maybe the pizzas you make at home are just fine.
I think the pizzas that I make at home are perfectly average.
Yeah, so that's the Dill Dough Pizza.
Okay. Any other jokes you got there?
No, I'm going to stop while I'm ahead right now because Grandma's listening and my mother-in-law, so I'll stop right there.
Okay. Well, yeah, you just... You gotta be careful.
Uh-huh. All right, we got closing. Let's stick with the topic of pizza here.
Mm-hmm.
The KC Kitchen and Pizzeria right off Southwest Boulevard, Southwest Traffic Way. 39th Street.
Yeah.
An era coming to an end?
You say so.
I mean...
Did you ever go there?
No.
Do you know a single person that ever ordered pizza from this place? Let's say it again. It's called KC Kitchen and Pizzeria. It's on 39th and Southwest Traffic Way. If you don't even know what we're talking about, it's probably because you've never even heard of it. And it's been there for 6 years, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, ever since the diner closed there.
Yeah, Nichols Lunch.
People have had trouble sticking. A concept has had trouble sticking there.
Nichols Lunch was there for 80 years.
Yeah, I guess 6 years is a pretty good run. But
yeah.
I never had it. It was always advertised on DoorDash and
really?
Uber Eats. So I think they did their best. But
I always thought it was a drug front.
Yeah.
Because I never saw cars in the parking
or
lot.
People in
I
there,
never
yeah.
saw people in there. I never saw, like, I work on the plaza, like, not that far. We never even, like, when we were ordering pizza for the office or something like that, we never even, it wasn't even in the top 50,
mm-hmm.
like, options. I don't know anyone who knew anything about it. Maybe I should have given it a shot. Maybe I should have tried it. Maybe I should step out of my comfort zone. I mean, we try to with this show. We try to step out of our comfort zone a mm-hmm. little bit. But yeah, I just, you know, I'm kind of, it seems like a cheap way to get ahead when you just, again, when you just name your anything you're opening in Kansas City, when you just throw KC into it, it's like, did you even try to name this place? Or are you just trying to rely on the trend of like eating local and buying local, so you just name your pizza place KC Kitchen and Pizzeria? Like, come on, you got to come up with something better than that. We've said that about the Bally Casino, how yep. they called it like KC Casino for a little bit.
Casino KC.
Like, you're not a local company. You're just trying to name. It's just lazy. You're just naming your. You're just trying to capitalize.
I think we said that
on
probably
this.
About like I think there's like a Casey Macaroni company.
Yeah.
Also.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Like Guys is doing. You know, they're relying on the localness, but they didn't change their name to like Guys KC or anything mm-hmm. like that. So I don't know. I think everyone saw the success of Made in KC or something like that. And we're like, hey, if we just put KC in the name, we're golden. We don't need we'll make money. Our business will make money. And that's just not the case.
All right. Also closing. this is an interesting one, but we've got Tintai, which if you don't know what Tintai is, it's the piece of tin that goes in like a brown paper bag mm-hmm. or in this case a donut bag.
A donut.
Donut is the white little white powdered donuts that Hostess makes or the chocolate covered donuts as Hostess makes. A powdered donut mm-hmm. and whole milk is an elite combination. But I guess they're changing their bags.
Yeah, so
the Tintai's out.
The Tintai is out. Hostess, which is a Lenexa company based in Lenexa, that's why it's on this list. If you didn't know, Hostess was a local company. Donuts are elite. I mean, mm-hmm. no matter what. I saw this news and added it, and I had to buy a bag of donuts. They're always on the end cap too of a grocery store. So when you're walking in the grocery store on the back aisle, as you're supposed to do, you always see them and they're just sitting there waiting for you to buy them. So yeah, Hostess is getting rid of the little tin plastic thing. I don't know what they're going to replace it with. Got to figure something out. You got to keep those donuts. Actually, you don't really because I eat them in a day or two. Mm-hmm. But it's going to save. They're doing this for sustainability purposes and trying to be better, global citizens, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to save 215,000 pounds of steel.
Holy smokes. Just in those little donut bags.
150,000 pounds of plastic and 700 pounds of glue by getting rid of this little tin thing in the donuts packaging. So, I heard this news. I went and bought some. They're so good. I ate them in a couple of days. So hopefully this just makes you want to go out and buy some donuts because it makes me, and I'll probably buy some more now that I just did this segment again.
It does make me want to go buy some donuts.
Yeah.
Like it, now to get the vintage bag.
The steel, it's going to be a collectible.
With the steel.
There's a good excuse.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to go get one, except we'll open it and it'll lose its value because I'm going to eat the donuts.
But, well, yeah.
All right.
Open it from the bottom and then glue the bottom mm-hmm. back together.
Okay. Ooh, that's not a bad idea. All right. This next one. This is a real shame.
It's actually a really bad idea. Well,
yeah, because then I don't get the pleasure of rolling.
The rolling of it.
Of
and
the donut.
It shut.
Yeah. All right. This is a real shame, this one.
You think so?
Real shame. I'm heartbroken.
I don't think so.
Panera in Brookside.
This is breaking news this morning.
Closing. Breadco closing. Panera closing.
Uh-huh.
I don't like Panera. I think it's overpriced and not very good.
It sucks. It's awful.
I see this as a, God closes one door and opens a window.
I hope so.
This hopefully is like a big garage.
Opens
window.
A window. Is that a phrase?
Is it?
I don't know.
I'll ask Dayton Moore.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is an opportunity for something way cooler than Panera to come to Brookside.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Any plans yet? Any rumors?
No, no rumors. I was just trying to log into the Nextdoor app to see what the buzz was mm-hmm. on Nextdoor because I haven't checked it yet. I imagine most people...
Probably some St. Louis transplants might be upset.
No, I imagine most people are okay with this. Yeah, I hate Panera. It's not that I don't like Panera. It's that I actively hate it. It's not a good company. Well, it doesn't put out good products. It doesn't make good products whatsoever. Whether or not it's a good company, that's a different story. But it does not make quality products. So not sad to see that Panera and Brookside is closing. I do hope something cool goes in there. But there's a really cool building not that far from it that is completely empty. I think it's like almost next door. It's basically like in between the Panera and the Baskin Robbins. There's a really cool white building, and it kind of just flies under the radar because I think it's back a little bit, and I don't think anything's been there for a while. So there is empty retail spots in that little Brookside Shops There's empty retail along the main stretch of Brookside Shops, like just west of the CVS there. So there's open storefronts. So that's what makes me a little bit nervous, because I don't like empty storefronts. I want something to fill in, but there's been opportunity for cool businesses to come into Brookside for a while, and they haven't. So I don't know. I don't know why. It gets so much foot traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, I drive through that literally every single day.
Across the street from a Starbucks.
Yeah, it gets a ton of foot traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm surprised that it's not a more valuable, or I'm surprised of the amount of empty storefronts in the Brookside Shop. So I hope something cool moves in, but I'm a little nervous about it. Just a little bit.
It's a big space.
It is a big space.
It's a big space to fill.
But Panera loses a storefront, I'm not going to lose sleep over it, because the less Panera available for people to buy, the better, in my opinion. So there's that.
Okay. All right. Let's move into a little what we tried this week. This week, I got to go to one of my new favorite restaurants.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to speak highly of this place. Clay and Fire.
Okay.
Down on the west side. 18th and Summit. It's right next to West Side Local, West Side Story, that cute little
shop.
Yeah,
it used to be Novel. That's where Novel used to be.
Okay. And it is literally in a house, a two-story house with a nice front patio. So you walk up some stairs to a
really
front
cool.
patio. Great, like, shade from trees and umbrellas.
Uh-huh.
So even on a hot day, it's a great patio to sit on. And then you walk in, it's like you're walking in someone's front door. Because there's a staircase right there leading you up to the second floor. Again, you just feel like you're in someone's house, which is a really cool thing. We ate upstairs where the bathroom's at.
Yep.
Have you heard about this bathroom?
Yeah, I've been there.
Oh, you've been to Clay and Fire?
No, I've only been. I went when
it was
Novel.
Yeah. So in the bathroom, again, it feels like someone's house because there's a shower and a bathtub, like one of those old porcelain bathtubs, which is filled with a koi pond.
Oh, okay.
So
that's new.
Well, they're pretty small, so maybe there's big goldfish because koi's get pretty big. But I let out an audible yelp when I opened the door.
A yelp?
Because I opened the door and there's a bathtub filled with fish, which was like, is this a prank? What's going on? But the food was incredible. Basically, the concept is that they've got this big open fire grill that everything is cooked off of. And as you order food, it kind of comes up as it's ready. So if you're with a group, you might not all get your food at the same time. But that's because it's coming right off that hot fire.
I don't think I like that.
Well, then would you want cold food?
No.
And just
sit
there
every
and
other
wait?
Restaurant in the history of the world has figured out a way to keep food warm.
Not with this fire grill they've got going
You can time it up. Like, other restaurants have open
Our
fire
food
grills.
Came out at the same time. We were just warned that it might not.
Oh,
Our food
okay.
came out at the same time.
All right.
We got Grandma's Pizza, which, I mean, the dough that they use, cooking it right on that fire, the crust was incredible, amazing. So I would recommend that. And then I got the spicy kebab lamb meat, which was incredible.
Get in
and
my
it just,
belly.
You know, some lamb meat that comes with rice, pita bread, and some veggies as well, which was just delicious.
Awesome.
The bar menu was awesome, too. I had a really, really good Paloma. They've got an amazing signature margarita there, too. And they've got the Quirk
Paloma?
Rocket Bomb Pop.
Margaritas?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it Mediterranean food?
It is.
Hmm.
It is.
Okay.
And they do have Mediterranean drinks on the menu as well.
I was
just a little too nervous to try them.
Yeah.
But they had the Rocket Bomb Pop Quirk on tap
as a grill guy, I can make everyone's food ready at the same time.
This is really sticking with you.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just say that so it sounds super cool and trendy.
Yeah.
But in reality, you know, they expect all the food to come out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a pain in the ass.
Under promise, over deliver.
For a server.
Yeah. Under promise.
That's why you need a robot.
Under promise, over deliver.
That's fair.
But yeah, great environment. Awesome food. And they do take reservations online. So book a reservation and go.
I fully support this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be said, but you know, the whole food is just ready when it comes off the grill thing.
Yeah.
You have hot parts of the grill. You have cold parts of the grill. And I mean,
the fresh pita that they're making on that grill is unbelievable.
Grilled bread is like the greatest thing in the world.
It's so, so good.
All right. So they make the pizza on the grill too. I love grilled pizza.
Oh, it's so good. The pizza is like, even if no one wants to get that as an entree, like get it as an appetizer or something.
Good
like,
idea.
You need to make sure that pizza comes to your table. It's that good.
Okay. All right. This week, I tried a couple of things. I tried Wolf Creek. Okay. The Golf Course Country Club. They
it's very chauvinistic of you.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. An all men's country club. Women aren't even allowed. They don't even have any female employees.
Wow.
I don't know. So the clubhouse was completely under construction. They're completely redoing the clubhouse. So I don't even know if like wives of members or daughters or friends are allowed to like come to the restaurant, which is just weird.
Yeah.
Like if you're eating at a restaurant. Basically, a clubhouse is, you know, a country club's, you know, main dining area. And it's only dudes.
All dudes.
That's weird.
24/7.
That's weird. Okay. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it like a national club where anyone, like people from all over the country join. And, you know, then they come on trips and they bring their friends on trips because they're building these cabins on the property for guys to stay at. And so I went just with
guys being dudes
at a work. It was a work thing. And so we did that. It's 189th in Lackman. It's out in the middle of nowhere.
And
there's no development around it. So there's no houses anywhere around it. There's zero development. The country club is just right there in the middle of nothing. And I think they want it that way. I don't think they want the development. I think they're building like a 9-hole par 3 out there as well. So they're trying to get this like national membership. I think so. We stayed at the cabin. The chef came to the cabin and cooked us dinner, which was pretty cool. They made appetizers as well on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was ready at the same time.
Okay.
And I mean, the course is amazing. While I would never be a part of a member out there because I think it's weird to just have like country clubs.
So yeah, like Shadow Glen has like male only parts, like a male only restaurant.
Yeah, same with Indian Hills and same with every country club.
I thought that was weird.
Because they put it in the locker room. So like out at Hallbrook too, the bar is called the locker room and it is truly a bar, a full bar where you have waiters and bartenders, and it's the locker room too. There's no doors separating the bar and the tables from the locker room and the bathroom and the showers and stuff. It's like, so that's how they do it. And a country club is already pretty much all dudes to begin with. Like, you don't need an all dudes country club because most country clubs are like mostly dudes anyways. So I thought it was whatever, but the course is incredible. It was probably one of the nicest courses I've ever played at. It's in incredible shape, and I was blown away by how fun and perfect the course was considering how shit the weather has been. So I mean, the course was incredible, the food was really good, the cabin was awesome, like having the chef come down and just like cook us dinner as we sat around and drank. That was awesome. And then they were there in the morning too and cooked us breakfast. I had a breakfast burrito
incredible.
That I took on the cart with me. So that was really cool. Awesome course. Cool. All dudes. It's a lot of dudes.
It's interesting. Do you want to do your other what you tried?
Oh, yeah. So
you
then,
got two.
Yeah. I also tried Mediterranean Market. So Mediterranean.
Another
Euro.
Another Euro.
Let me see where Mediterranean Market is. It's on Westport Road. Mediterranean Market on Westport Road, like right across the street from the Jimmy John's, right next door to the Papa John's, right there on Westport Road, close to Andy's and the Quick Trip down there. This is a good Euro. So if you don't know, it's my goal to try every Euro in Kansas City. This was a good one. Very, very thinly sliced lamb meat.
I like that.
Perfect tzatziki to meat ratio. So I like tzatziki sauce. I think most people do. Great ratio there. Not too much, not too little. Great, great bread. The meat had a little bit of a spice, which was different. The fries were just okay. So, like, I opened the box, and the fries didn't look very good really at all. So my first impression of the meal was a negative one. And so, you know, when you're, like, reviewing something, if you go in, like, your first impression can kind of lead you to a biased opinion.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of wasn't feeling great about the sandwich going into it because the fries didn't look very good. The sandwich overcame those that first impression. Sandwich was very good. So that's Mediterranean Market. It's number 3 on my list.
Okay.
So it jumps.
That's a big.
It jumps quite a bit. I've tried 8 now. So Haha's still number 1. Papu's number 2. Mediterranean Market jumps into that 3 spot. The Mad Greek, which is a food truck, is number 4. Jerusalem Cafe, 5. Tasso's, 6. Max's on Warnell, 7. And Mr. Euro's, 8. That rounds out my Euro rankings so far.
Okay. Next up, we've got a little Midwest Mad here. Staley High School.
What's Staley High School?
Up north. You ever heard of Staley, the high school? It's kind of newer.
Stanley?
Staley. Staley. It's like north of Liberty, I believe. It's
I thought that was newer. Called something else.
There's a Staley Country Club.
What's the neighborhood like south of Overland Park on 156th and Medcalf?
Oh, what is the name of that city? Blue Valley's in that city. Is that
Staley?
Well, then what's up north?
It's also Staley.
Okay, they're both.
Wait,
Staley.
Hold on. That can't be true.
Staley High School for sure. Is Staley, Kansas? Also, were
no, because Staley. Stanley.
It's Stanley. Where Blue Valley is.
Yeah, it's okay. Stanley.
Staley up north.
Okay.
Woo!
Glad we got that figured out.
But there was a good old fashioned AAU brawl breaking out at Staley High School over the weekend. So,
sheesh. Look out.
Started with a guy in a. Do you know what Sleazy World is?
Nope.
I don't know. He's wearing a Sleazy World sweatshirt.
Sweet. Did you look it up?
No, I haven't yet. But him and the referee get in a fight.
Nice.
So some guy basically comes up on the sideline, chest bumps the referee a little bit.
Oh.
They're screaming at each other. Then I think the referee throws the first punch.
I think Sleazy World is he's a rapper. He's an artist.
Okay, he's an artist. So AAU tournament going on there. Okay, so the Sleazy World guy didn't start it. He just maybe got pictured in it. But I'm going to say the referee throws the first punch in this one, and then all hell breaks loose.
Nice.
The referee goes down. People are kicking him. Oh, Sleazy World's throwing a lot of punches, too.
Wow. Here. Aggressive.
Yeah. There's a kid kicking the referee while he's down.
Not good.
Just not a great look at Staley High School. I don't have kids yet. I've never been to my kids' sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
I remember how much, and I love sports. Sports mean a lot to me.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't know how it gets to the point where you want to fight a referee.
Mm-hmm.
As a grown person, I don't know how you get there.
Because
I think
have a lot of problems.
Yeah. You would think, like, I've gained some perspective, right? Like, as an adult, I've now realized 8-year-old high school, 12-year-old sports, it's not the end of the world.
Mm-mm.
It really doesn't mean that much. One game doesn't mean
you
that
know
much.
That now.
I know that now. And it meant a lot to me in the moment
for
as
sure.
a kid.
Yeah.
For sure. It seemed like a big deal. Not big enough to like swing on a referee or things like that. But I can't imagine what a referee could do to me as an adult to make me want to go fight him.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of him punching my kid in the face for no reason, like, I don't know a reason why that would happen. And I think that if you fight a referee ever, you're banned from sporting events for the rest of your life.
I agree. Unless the referee throws the first punch.
I think, well,
provoke.
This guy came and chest bumped him, and he swung first, but the other guy kind of was coming pretty aggressively at him.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. You shouldn't be able to go to a sporting event anymore if you're going to fight a referee.
Yeah.
As an adult.
Like, especially at a kid's game.
I don't understand an AAU summer game, what a referee can do to make you need to fight him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't. I just.
I'll be. It'll be interesting to see what. I'll be interested to see like how I react when my kids start playing sports and like because I've talked to a lot of people now about like when we were growing up playing sports like I played on the same teams.
Mm-hmm.
As the best athletes in my school, and they played other sports as well. Yeah. But like my eighth grade team, we had guys who went on to play college basketball. We had guys who went on to play college football. We had guys who went on to play college baseball. I sucked at sports that required athleticism, mm-hmm. and I played with those guys. That just doesn't happen anymore. Like the super athletes, they don't play with bad athletes. I'll be interested to see what if I care that much. Like,
I know.
What level I'll care at. Because I've talked to kids or I've talked to parents who have been like, yep, I said the same thing. Like,
I know.
I said the same thing. Like, I was not going to, you know, get my daughter into the most competitive volleyball clubs. And, you know, I wasn't going to care about, you know, traveling basketball camps and said the same thing. But then they come and, you know, I'm paying for traveling basketball camps and, like, we're thinking about moving because my daughter can't get into this club volleyball team. And I'm just like, you're going to move locations from where you live, uproot yourself because your daughter can't play 14-year-old volleyball. Well, if they don't get on this club, then they're not going to play in high school. It's just like, will I care? I really hope not. But again, I have no clue.
I don't know either.
Because James is not going to be, maybe he's a good golfer. If James is a good golfer and then it's November and he wants to go to golf camp in Florida, like, hell yeah. And if I can afford to pay for that, right?
Yeah.
Then I'll be like, sure, let's do it. And mm-hmm. I'll look back at this and be like, God, I can't believe I said I was like not going to be that dad. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
We'll see. Yeah.
I'll never fight. Here's one promise.
You won't fight a swing
coach. I'll never
fight
a coach. I'll never fight.
You won't fight his private coach in Jupiter, Florida.
Yes.
You won't fight that guy.
I will not fight a coach. I will not fight a referee. I will not verbally assault a coach. I will not verbally assault a referee. I can guarantee you that.
It's wild. I don't know how we get there or how you get to that point where you're throwing punches at a referee.
Mm.
Quite the road.
All right.
Personal pine tar for this week. I've got. I saw this map on Reddit.
Yeah, I saw it too.
And it's on. They have an Instagram account too. I need to make sure I say it. But basically, it's a map of the streetcar.
The old streetcar.
The old streetcar versus the new streetcar. And if you see basically what the streetcar in 1926 touched compared to what the streetcar in 2022 touches,
uh-huh.
it will make you sick to your stomach a little bit. This incredible streetcar system and route that, I think as a society, we decided cars are the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's everyone's going to own their own car. Streetcars are pointless. And so we did away with that streetcar system, which really spanned. I mean, they built a tunnel to go to the West Bottoms and it expanded all the way there. It went all the way east to Independence. It went south to southern Johnson County.
Mm-hmm.
All the same streetcar system in 1926, which was incredible. And it was part, it's Urban Lab KC on Instagram is who did it.
Okay, nice.
But it's a really cool time lapse. And yeah, it makes you a little sad about.
Well, I can understand though, like seeing cars and then like how available they became in the 50s mm-hmm. and being like, why the hell would we have a streetcar when like
right.
everyone can have their own individual streetcar? And instead of having routes that a big, huge streetcar can go on, like we can just make these smaller little routes that literally any individual can go on that they want to. So like, I understand why they moved away with that when the car became like so readily available. Probably like asphalt probably wasn't invented until like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like they probably had
definitely
like
hindsight
roads.
2020 yeah. thing. No doubt.
But at the same time, cars are pretty cool. Being able to drive to wherever you want.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
But yeah, I understand where you're coming from. Like, if we also had a declining population in the 70s and 80s downtown. And like, mm-hmm. it was, no one wanted to live downtown. The suburbs yeah. were sprawling. All the money was moving out there. And we definitely made some mistakes as a city. But I can understand why they move that way. Mm-hmm. All right, my personal pine tar. Took a chance, and the risk of taking a chance on anything you buy from Costco is if you don't like it, you've got a shit ton of it. I've complained about this with some face wash that I bought down there. Mm-hmm. Costco baby wipes. I cannot endorse them. I will not endorse them. They are not very good. They're not as good as, obviously they're not as good as Pampers, but they're not even as good as Huggies, which is one of the worst diaper brands on the planet. Mm-hmm. So I bought a huge box of Costco wipes, probably, you know, 1,000 of them, I would say. Probably much more than that. And they're not good. They're not moist enough.
They need to sample more things, Costco does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What if you had a wipe sample?
Sure, I'd take a swipe.
Just wash your hands. I'd be able to tell immediately that this is not the wipe for me.
Just a sample bottle. Wipe your hands.
That's probably why they don't do it, because people would know. For all the dads out there, don't make the switch. Costco wipes are not good.
Put it where you're giving out, like, you know, wings that make, or like the sample out, food that might make your hands dirty. Mm-hmm. Give a baby wipe.
Not good. Mm-hmm. So the Kirkland brand of baby wipes, I cannot endorse. They're not good. And now I have thousands of them that I just have to get through until we can buy Pampers again.
I can't endorse their toilet paper either.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great.
Yep.
Nothing compared to Charmin.
I'll endorse their paper towels.
Sure.
But not their toilet paper. Mm-hmm. And not their Kleenexes.
All right. So let's move. So there's our summary of paper goods from Kirkland brand. All right. Let's move to our mixed plate. Like we said at the beginning of the episode, live from the lower level, AKA my parents' basement where I'm living. So we've got the mixed plate of the best things about living with your parents as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. We're on episode 167.
Yep.
That means you get to go first in this mixed plate.
All right. My mixed plate of living with your parents. I'm gonna say, you know, it's saving money on steroids. Your cash flow is just phenomenal when you're living with your parents, because you don't pay rent, I didn't pay rent when I lived with my parents,
or it's certainly discounted.
You can save money so quickly. And whenever you look at, like, your budget and that big thing called rent or utilities is not included in there, and that's just going into a savings account, it just feels so, so good. So, yeah, saving money on steroids.
It feels good. All right. I'm going to go my meat number one here. I'm gonna go with your mom's cooking.
Yes.
I mean, you move back in, you got your mom making a couple meals a night for you. A week, and you get to play the hits. You're like, what did I love growing up?
Mm-hmm.
Let's play those hits and get to eat them during the week. So mom's cooking is a great thing to have.
All right, meat number two for me. I'm gonna go with random moments of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So I was over here on Saturday looking for something, and down in the basement, the lower level, the storage part of it. So the storage part is still the basement.
Yeah.
Right. So I was in the storage part, and my parents still have, like, all of our old toys. And I saw, like, the Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Austin 316
doll that we used to play with, and some other, like, old toys that
Kevin Nash action figure.
Yeah, haven't seen in 20 years. And it was just like a boom. It just hit me, and I knew exactly, like, the Stone Cold Steve Austin doll. It sounds like its bones break when you move the legs and arms and stuff. And I knew exactly what it could do, and it was just a massive, huge rush of nostalgia, just totally random out of the blue. Mm-hmm. So it was awesome.
All right, my meat number two here. I'm gonna go with having cable. I don't know if I will ever have cable again in my life, but having cable for free is nice.
Hmm.
You can use all the cable logins on apps, nice. Which is nice.
Yeah.
Channel surfing. Mm-hmm. That's like
not the lost art of channel surfing.
Not something you really do. Like watching cable and The Punisher is on. Yeah, I'm going to stop and watch that. Watching cable Over the Top is on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to stop and watch that. Like having cable and just like, it telling you what you're going to watch rather than searching through Netflix trying to find a show. And
I feel that.
Sometimes it's nice to not for it to tell me what I'm going to watch.
Yeah, I feel that. I still do that on YouTube TV. Mm-hmm. Like, cause, but it's not the same. It's not flipping through and not knowing what's coming, like pressing the channel button. You're yep. you're searching the guide on YouTube TV. But yeah, I understand that. Side number one for me, I'm going to go with pretending to be old. Mm-hmm. So back when I lived with my parents, me and mom would do the crossword puzzle like together every single night. And we would just sit there and like we would read a little bit. We'd do the crossword. I would take a copy. I would take the newspaper mm-hmm. down to the printer because everyone's parents still have a printer.
That's a good one too.
Having a printer. Yeah. I know. Mm-hmm. So I would do that and then I would copy the crossword and me and mom would race on the crossword puzzle and we'd be like, oh, what'd you get? Did you get 32 across? Mm-hmm. So just like pretending. That sounds bad now that I'm saying
you're calling our parents old.
Yeah, but
you just want to do just, old
just,
activities. Oh,
yeah, just doing like doing something that you wouldn't do with your friends, right? Kind of mm-hmm. from a different generation, a past generation.
Yeah. All right. My side number one is going to be upgrading your grill setup.
Yeah. Because
typically, if you're moving in with your parents, that means you're probably coming from an apartment.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably don't have a grill setup. Like, I did not have a grill at my apartment.
Do you even know how to grill? Food's just ready when it comes off, huh?
I know. Now I'm learning how to grill. I've got a great grill setup.
Nice.
Because my dad has a great grill setup. Mm-hmm. So upgrading that grill setup, being able to grill, like actually grill chicken, cook steaks, did some chicken kebabs on the grill the other
nice.
Week. Turkey burgers that didn't have to be cooked inside, but on the grill were
nice.
Awesome. So upgrading yeah. that grill setup.
Grills? Meat's just better over an open flame. Mm-hmm. Side number two for me to round things out. I'm going to go with just knowing that it's temporary mm-hmm. and just like knowing that an end is in sight. And so like when something is temporary, then it just feels easier. And it's just like, this is just temporary. So you can overlook some of the complications. You can overlook some of the problems. You can overlook some of the downsides and the disadvantages mm-hmm. because you can always say like, look, this is just temporary. We'll just get through it. So like problems that come up, I don't know, like maybe you're not happy with the shower pressure here or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's temporary. And so, but when you buy a house, it's like, well, the shower pressure sucks here. I just bought this house.
Yeah.
This is not temporary. And so little things like that, that you know, like you don't like the carpet upstairs. Who cares? You know this is temporary. That's just a nice feeling as opposed to like, okay, I just bought this house. Everything is permanent. Nothing is temporary.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Everything is temporary for me right now. And I'm going to say that for a long time. All right. My meet number two to round things out is... you have pregame partners.
Yes, that's a good one.
Like if you're ever going to go out like for drinks, maybe with friends that night, like you always got someone there to say, hey, you want to have a drink?
Uh-huh.
And like, hey, I'll make a gin and tonic or I'll make or grab a beer. Do mm-hmm. you want one? Like you might have a pregame partner.
Exactly.
And that way you're not drinking alone.
That's a very good. That's a very good one.
So always being able to have a pregame partner.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
So free Wi-Fi. Honorable mention,
yeah.
Even though it sucks. Let's see. Dog daycare is nice too.
That's very nice.
Dog daycare is very clutch. And snacks.
Snacks, yeah.
Snacks.
We don't have any snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like I feel like our age of people, a lot of times, like we're always aiming for like the healthy snacks,
mm-hmm.
like trying to find like a chocolate covered almond, not just like
yeah,
an
or
Oreo.
Like chips made out of like quinoa or some bullshit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here it's. Cheez-Its, it's Oreos.
Oh, yeah.
It's
Nutty Bars?
No Nutty Bars, but ice cream in the fridge.
Zebra cakes?
All the time. So the snacks are there.
I left off like introducing them to new food. I know you guys have done that lot.
That's
John Ritz, every single dinner is like 66 years old and I've never had... Well, I don't remember the couple
sweet potato tacos.
Sweet potato tacos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
or tofu.
Yeah, tofu. a meatless meal.
Yes.
Just a meal without meat. Never had it.
Never had it. 66 years. They're clutch. They've got a lot of old stuff for costume parties.
That's true.
They have like costume bins and shit that they've collected over the years. Clean. Kathy Ritz keeps a clean house. Mm-hmm. So the house is always clean. I have breakfast on here just because, like, when I come over here on Mondays to drop the kids off for daycare, there's always something to snack
always fresh
on
fruit.
For breakfast.
Always yeah. fresh fruit.
It's just sitting out there, just mm-hmm. breakfast. So those are my honorable mentions.
Okay. All right. So that'll do it for us this week. Remember to nominate us for Best Local Pod,
please,
for in the Pitch magazine. And be sure to follow us on social media @StateYourLine. And we'll see you around Kansas City.